Good morning, everyone. We used to say half the church leaves when kids ministry, but it's actually three quarters now. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. We just want to honor you guys and bless you, and fathers-to-be, it's okay too. Pray that God would give you grace and wisdom for life that's coming. I remember one time, Lori, my wife, we're looking at our grandson or some little boys, I forget, they're just kicking, and you know how boys can be, just whatever. And thinking, oh, those poor little guys, if they only knew the responsibility and the weight and the life and the expectation and the job that's going to be put upon them to have a family and to have a life and a future. God give them strength and God be with them. Amen? And just keep praying for our men. Keep praying for the husbands and fathers and grandfathers in this house and those who are connected to us. So I just wanted to say a couple of things about camp. I see this big post here with all the ribbons on it. That was our race, amazing race. I thought they were going to do something with that, but I guess it's just to remind us of the good time at camp. But we had a very blessed camp, and you know, I'll stick to my notes because I'll talk too much. But I just didn't want to run past, you know, last week we had an amazing time of worship and setting time aside and just blessed. And as a church, you know, we make a big investment. We shut down this meeting. It costs money. You invest money. But what I come away with is that it's one of the best investments that we can make. And when I see the lives that were encouraged and challenged and blessed and touched and the time that we were together, and Frank wrote me this morning and just said, Happy Father's Day and bless ELCI, bless the church. And I just want to say thank you for those who made the effort to come. It's an investment. But again, I say it, we saw the fruit of it, and we trust we'll see the fruit of it. Before I speak on my topic, I'm going to preach three sermons this morning. No, but I don't want to run past camp just like that, and I reserve the right to come back to it over the next while. And if you weren't there, you missed it. You missed a blessing. You missed an input into our church. I don't know how to express it, the value of it, the importance of it, the input into the family of this church, into the lives of people in this church. Amen? Those who are at camp, you know what I'm doing here, eh? About every 5 seconds. Come on, something. Let's hear something. Yeah. Why can you do it for him and not for me? So I'm going to keep doing this. But we really did have an input into our church and into our lives that was significant. And so, as I said, I'm gonna reserve the right to keep going back to it and sharing. But if you were there, you'll remember by stirring up your pure minds, the first message, the first morning. First of all, how many were glad they're at camp? Okay. Just a fresh vision of Jesus. He was talking about having a fresh vision of Jesus and religion versus relationship. And the further they got from Jerusalem, the closer they got to their encounter. You remember the story on the road to Emmaus. And they wanted to talk current events, and Jesus wanted to talk scripture. Amen? The importance of that walking out our lives with Christ, and not just depending on what happened 20 years ago. You know, the reason they didn't recognize Jesus, I don't want to preach this whole message, but I'll do it over the next while, but it's because they're expecting him to show up what they had been used to seeing him as, and he didn't. He showed up in a different way, and that's often us. We expect Christ to show up. We don't recognize him in a service like this. We don't recognize him in the face of a 60-year wedding anniversary. We don't recognize him in the face of a child that's worshiping Jesus. You know what I mean? He shows up in ways that many times we don't recognize. Anyhow, I'm starting to preach, and I don't want to. The second session was, you know, he's talking about without faith, it's impossible to please God. We must believe that he exists and is a rewarder of those who seek him. And I love that the first miracle, the wedding at the wine, what stuck out to me in that whole sermon is that he did it at a wedding, not in a church service, not in a synagogue, not in a prayer meeting. He shows up at a wedding, and you know, if you remember that sermon, he just blessed them. And it's that whole business of dreams are as important as needs. God is nice. He doesn't turn wine into water. He turns water into wine. You know, water was a necessity, wine's not. And just the whole abundance of God's amazing blessing. And do you have faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And God is good and God is nice. And so that was the second session. And we're going to work that in again, because I believe in the input of the apostolic is important. A voice coming in alongside, someone who's with us, but doesn't just take us over there. He just encourages us more and more in what we're doing. Amen? And the third one was the four benefits of honor. Colossians 3:22. You know, he started, do everything as unto the Lord. We are not primarily serving people. When we sing and serve and give and come to church, you're not doing it for us. You're doing it as unto the Lord. And that's where we get our joy in, and that's why we should be celebrating it. And I love, you know, if he was here, he'd be running all over the stage. Sunday morning is the best morning of the week. And you're waiting, and you're waiting. Where's the chair? And you sit in a chair, and it's like waiting for the, when's he going to preach? When are they going to sing? When are they come to church, and you're expecting something. Yeah. Ah, amen. You want to, some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy, but he didn't care, and I don't care. You want to come and stare? You come and stare. But what we have to do is have an anticipation that God is good and that God is going to do something and work in our lives. He talked about the ungrateful. Ooh, the ones you can never please. The grateful and then those who are rich in their souls. And that was that whole thing of recognizing, investing equals honor. Amen? Say it. Recognition plus investment equals honor. It's great to recognize God is good, but if you don't invest, you're not honoring him in worship, praise, giving. Amen? Marriage is great. You recognize the value of your wife, but if you don't invest, you're not honoring. So positively, I'm staying positive, to recognize the value of someone, recognize whoever, recognize God, the value of a church, whatever, plus investment equals honor. So you can say you honor God, but if it's just words, thank you. I thought I was in trouble. Last time they were bringing electric cords up here. I'm looking for Corey. Is he here? Oh, right here in the front. This little guy. Thank you for what you did at camp, setting up and the sound and all the team with you, and bless you. Good job doing sound the whole weekend. We do appreciate that, and we recognize it, and we invest in it. I don't know what, I'll give you $5 later or something, but bless you. So this morning, we're in Psalm 72. Please turn your Bibles to Psalm 72. There's been a lot of clapping and honoring already this morning, but I just want to, I call it the Father's Day version, because long story short, you know, we've been talking about getting into the Psalms, and PJ had this Psalm 72. It talks, it's in this Psalm where, you know, he shall have dominion from sea to sea, and kind of a presentation preparing for Canada Day coming up. And so on. So I put together, I have all these thoughts and history of the Charlottetown conference when Canada was formed. You know, I'll preach it another day, but I just got to say, it's amazing to me that 10, 12 guys can show up in a room in Charlottetown and decide, okay, let's just have a country. Let's just make this our country. Okay, Canada, let's confederate. What do you do when you say, do we confederate it or... Confederation, anyhow. What does that mean? But they just declare, okay, this is a country from sea to shining sea, but that's, I'll preach that another day. But what happened, anyhow, I got to leave that one because that's the sermon that I was working on. And then it was like the Lord said, no, Father's Day version. And so let's read Psalm 72. It's a prophetic prayer. It's of Solomon, as it says in the beginning. That's part of the scripture. It's not someone added that title in there, of Solomon. And so some say, well, it's Solomon. I mean, some say it's a prayer of David for Solomon, because at the end of the psalm it says these exact words. I don't want to make up the words. It says, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. But most believe that that's the end of book two. Psalms are divided into, there's three books divided. Most of book two is David's psalms. But this one is of Solomon. Most people believe it's Solomon, his prayer. Prayer for the king. Or if it's David praying for Solomon, I don't really care. But it's a prophetic prayer with a messianic vision, although it's not quoted a lot in the New Testament, but it's a prayer for the king. And so when I read this prayer for the king, what God spoke to my heart is a prayer for the fathers. It's a prayer for us leading homes, those who are and those who will be and those who have. And it's a good prayer. And ultimately, at the end of the prayer, it's Jesus. Amen? It's the King of Kings, and may God have dominion over everything. So we pray for our leaders. That's kind of where I was going before. But this morning we're praying for fathers. So let's read a little bit. It says in verse 1 of Solomon, give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness, and the poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people, and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people. Give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish, and peace abound till the moon be no more. And may he have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow down before him, and his enemies lick the dust. May the king of Tarshish and the coastlands render him tribute. May the king of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. For he delivers the needy when he calls the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and he saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and the violence, he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day. May there be abundance of grain in the land. On the tops of the mountains may it wave. May its fruit be like Lebanon, and may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun, and may people be blessed in him. All nations call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. So I have divided that psalm into six parts. The first part, you can put it up there. I hope those ratings are bigger on this screen than that one. It's not that my eyes are bad, it's just really poor lights over there. 60 wedding anniversary people understand that more than some of the young people. So the first one is the first verses 1-4. The king's justice and righteousness. The psalm begins with a plea to God to endow the king, / now this is where I'm going to put in the father. Fathers, with his judgments and righteousness, so that he may govern the people justly, especially defending the poor and crushing the oppressor. Hallelujah. So fathers should be righteous. Amen? If we're praying for our fathers, let's pray that they would be righteous. And what I mean by that is not perfect. And if you know a father or two in your life, you know we are not perfect. There's a few of us that are close, but there's not many who are, amen. It's like, but what it does mean you know, they're not perfect, not without problems, but that they would be righteous. And righteousness comes from God Himself. And as we walk that out, and as we live that out in our relationship with Him, fathers should be deal justly. You know, the scripture that comes to mind is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Do not provoke your children to anger. Amen? But discipline, admonish them in the Lord. Raise them up in the Lord. There's a call for us fathers to be just, to be righteous, to be good, to not cause our children to be provoked into anger, but to have wisdom and to walk that out. Fathers should defend their families, not be passive, not be AWOL. And each one of these I could preach all day this morning, but just be present. You know, it's I don't know if it's just me. As you get older, I'm a grandfather. I don't have the day-to-day grind of children. You know, grind. That's a grind, right? Just the day-to-day, get up for school, get to bed, get up for school. That's all we felt like we ever did for a number of years. Hurry up, get to sleep. It's late, get to bed, coming home from church or wherever. And then about 2 seconds later, get up, come on, what are you doing? Let's go. Just, that's all you did. Throw them in the car. It felt like about 10 years of that. And then you kind of come up and you take a breath. But what I'm trying to say is, as a grandfather, with more space in my life, more margins, could I just encourage you to just be careful, dads? You know, this is supposed to be encouraging. I just want to encourage you, just be present. You know, it's so easy to just be tired, to be distracted, to just, stuff's going on, and you got to do your life, and your business, and your home, and your, everything's going, okay, Johnny, it's kind of, Lori and I used to joke about her dad. He had, you know, he was always loved technology, and he always had the best cameras and whatever, the Super 8s or whatever they were, before there was even sound, you know. So we're watching all these old movies, and he had their whole lives. You can watch Lori grow up, not so much with Marcy, but yeah, by the second, third child, you don't care as much. That's just how it is. But so there, he's filming away, and then you sort of see him, kids, get out of the way. I want to take a picture of this tree and of this mountain. And now, 40 years later, we're watching these films. We're like, forget about the mountains. Where's the kids? We want to see ourselves. We want to, you know, and it's just so easy to take for granted that these kids, this family is going to be with you forever, and they're not. And so don't grow weary. Don't get tired in well-doing. Don't despair. Don't go passive, okay? Just be involved in your kids' life. Be present. Fathers will protect their families from outside. You know, you can read the notes that are there, but I remember sitting there watching a documentary on some place, and it's a pedophile who's actually being interviewed from prison, and he's talking about children, and he's talking about the perversion, he's talking about his messed up life, and his words, not mine, was any time, anywhere, there was an adult, but specifically a father engaged, they would stay 1,000 miles away, and they could sniff it out in a second, which families were engaged and which families were not. And all I want to say is, Dad, you are the most important thing there is in life. Messed up, alcohol, stuff going on. Yeah, but God, give us grace to be present. Just present. And I'll say it for a church. People coming into churches with every kind of wrong motive and stuff, if they find strong men, strong families, strong leaders, they don't stay. I've been in ministry for 42 years. Trust me, they can sniff it out when a family is weak, when a child is vulnerable, when there's an issue. It's like a spiritual thing going on there. Come on. And when we are alert and awake and present and living and protecting, so that's the prayer, justice and righteousness, that they would be there for their family, that they would govern the people justly, especially defending the poor and the oppressed. Second one, verses 5-7. I'm not going to go read it again in the Psalms, but these verses express a desire for the king slash father to reign, to be as enduring as the sun, symbolizing the long and lasting and prosperous rule that brings peace and flourishing to a life. So here's my message. Fathers, stick around. Be there. As men, often it can be, you know, we can become bored every day, the grind, the familiar, not much glamour. You know, I don't see a lot of big movies being made about the glamour of being faithful to your family every day for 60 years. You don't see a lot of that. Actually, what you see is a lot of almost sadness for a father. They're always, whatever they're predicted or portrayed, sorry, in a commercial or in a movie or whatever, they're not portrayed as this man of honor, of faithfulness, who stayed and took care of his kids and his family and held up his home. That's not honored. That's not promoted. But I'm telling you, that's our prayer for each one of us. Amen? That we would be there every day. Every day. Staying true. Staying true. That's honorable. That is effort. That is takes work. To just be faithful day after day after day after day, and to find the joy in it, to find the strength and to find the value in it. And I'll say more about that in a minute. When I was in South Africa, and I said it a couple of weeks ago, whatever, one of my favorite things, I started by putting a picture of our family, all our kids and grandma, Oma is in there, and just because I love it, but also because, you know, I wanted people to see our kids and see our family. We used to be in those churches 100 years ago, and so to see what they look like. But it turned into kind of a theme of the whole month that we were traveling in South Africa. And what I love to say is, you know, you see this? You're going to want this one day, whatever yours may look like. And don't hear what I'm not saying, because families get busted and people die and divorce happens and singleness is real and all that, and there's no dishonor and more honor and anything else. But let me just celebrate this. You're going to want this one day. And when I hear, I got cousins, I got second cousins who are being fertilized or whatever. They don't want a husband. They don't want a father. They just want a sperm, and they are intra vitris or whatever going on, and they're on, you know, just loving it, and they've got 250,000 followers on Facebook, and they're celebrating. No father. It's like, okay, but what about when that kid grows up? What about when they want to know who their father was? What about when they are looking for identity and about who they are? It's not always about us. It's about them. It's about what are we putting into them. And so I just want to encourage you, stay the course. Are you perfect? Am I perfect? I want to say swear words here. No. Silas, Grant, you know, I don't trust children. They don't ever tell the truth. Silas, you're grumpy, Grandpa. Except on Sunday. You're kind of, I forget the exact words, but you're kind of half grumpy grandpa or something like that. Sunday's a special day. It's like, you don't know nothing, kid. I'm the happiest grandpa you're going to ever have. The trouble is he's got Brad's dad on the other side, the hunter, fisherman, quiet, calm, nice guy. I'm here smacking him in church and whatever. They don't know the trouble I've seen. No, but may God help us. You know, in this example, this psalm, he's praying for the king. David and Solomon, they are not the good examples of what they just prayed. You know what I mean? Lori buying me a get better card, get better soon card. You ever had those? I'm not sick, but she just wants me to get better. There's room for improvement. Amen? You can buy your husband one of those cards too. Let's just move along. Number three, verses 8 to 11, but it talks about universal dominion. This is where the whole story about Canada from sea to sea comes from. He prays that the king's dominion would extend from sea to sea, and he would be honored by the nations, illustrating a vision of widespread influence and respect. Amen? That's the prayer that God, well, the king, God specifically, and our forefathers, they chiseled that into stone in Ottawa. I love it. They can't get rid of it. It's there. And, you know, Samuel Leonard Tilley, 1865 in there, just before Confederation, he's the guy that brought this quote, and it became ingrained in our whole Canadian history at the Charlottetown Conference. But he came up with this, and his name was Leonard, just so you know. This was good. But here's the story, that fathers would be honored, recognized, plus investment from camp. That whole story equals honor. You know, it's, how can I say this? Being a father, like I said, it's not really celebrated a lot. It's not like made movies out of it. It's kind of a thankless position a lot of times. But we know the value of it, right? We know how important it is. And I was, you know, I was thinking, what? One example I have is, we don't really appreciate the AV people until we see presenter coming through here about 100 times. Anybody notice that? No, we hardly notice that. But what's funny is, you know, we don't notice the sound man until he messes up. And I was like, ah, oh, that sound man. He can be there every Sunday for the last 400 years, faithfully. And it's kind of, I don't know, that's the kind of the picture I had of fatherhood. When you're there, when it's working, when it's you're doing what God intends you to do, everybody's happy. Everybody's, this is a great day. And then you mess up. What's going on with the sound? What's going on with the AV? What's going on with Dad? It's like, yeah, I think we should have a party just for dads. You say, well, what'd you do? No, you just survived. you're just there. You just lived. The Bible, you know, society doesn't honor this. I got a bunch of stuff written there. You can do whatever you want with it. We have no problem in business, in government, in school, honoring influence, honoring leadership, honoring those who in authority. And we don't have a problem with that authority structure, except for when it comes to family. It's amazing how many times that is an offense to talk about an order and talk about rules and talk about God-given position and importance and value. And then it's like, I'm not going to serve that guy. It's like, yeah, but you at work, we can have bosses, we can have structure with schools, and, you know, that's fine. You talk about church, it's kind of a dictatorship there, you know. No, man, it's like a family. It's like a father in a home. How important that position is. And the reason I say I know how important it is, because that's what the devil is trying to kill all the time. If there's one thing he's going after, it's family in every way. And I don't want to make a sermon out of that. But just broken relationships and confusion around roles and government. You know, you can see what I have listed there, but just a brokenness that comes after what a family, what a father, mother, what God intended, identity, whatever, what God intended, just smash it as hard as he can. And when we do that, we pay the price for it. And then, of course, if you've ever done a wedding, wives honor your husbands. Husbands love your wives, you know, Ephesians. Why? Because it's important. And you can call me a misogynist, you can call me anything you want. I'm telling you, men and women are different. We're created different. We have different needs. It's different. Different thinking, different bodies, different lives, different needs, different. And the Bible is God's word, and it says this, wives, honor your husbands. Why? Because it's hard to do, but that's what men need. They go from boys to men when they find a woman who honors them, who builds them up, who stands with them. And, you know, Laura used to look into my eyes with this amazing, too bad she's in Sunday school today because I could really use it, just And you feel like you're a man. You feel like you're good. And then the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Why? Because it's so hard. But that's what they need. And I've never met a woman that was loved well by her husband that would run away, that would divorce if she's loved like she should be. And if she can honor her husband, it's much easier for him to love her. And if he loves her, it's way easier for him to honor. If he loves, she can honor him. Amen? Thank you. It's like we need this stuff. And may the king be honored. Men, may he be honored. Not only on a Sunday morning like this, but in our lives and in society and in the world today, because it's important, his position. And yeah, do we mess up? I don't even want to go down those stories. You can call me what you want, but we are created with the need to be respected, to be honored. And do we deserve it all the time? No. It's like, man. But if when we are, when men are honored in this house, in every way, I could use a lot of examples. There's just something that rises up, and they step up into the, you know, if you want to get a good preacher on this, Jordan Peterson, just get him going in some of his speeches about, you know, they're saying about men and women in society, whatever. He says, look at who's doing these dirty, rotten jobs. Yeah? The pig rigs, the rig pigs, whatever they call them, you know, the oil workers and the what? Can women do it? Yeah, of course they can. These days, anyhow, I won't, I'll just keep myself. Of course they can. I am always trying to get Lori to mow the lawns. Honey, you can do this. Look, the neighbors, it's all the women out there doing it. And she's like, do you think I'm stupid? Why would I take a job you can do? I honor you. And I'm out there, I can do this. No, but it's like God's made us different, and we can encourage all the gifts that God has put into each one of us if we could just pray this simple prayer. May the king be honored. May the king be lifted up. Let's go on, number 4, verses 12 to 14. The king is portrayed as a savior for the needy and the afflicted, someone who shows compassion and delivers them from oppression and violence. Amen. Similar but different. Fathers, to be compassionate. That's my encouragement this morning, to suffer with. Compassion gets involved. Fathers are to be involved. At the end of the day, you do not want to have a successful business or ministry, but your family's destroyed. Amen. And I've shared this example so many, many times. Again, in South Africa, traveling again is kind of a reminder of a life of travel. You know, we pastored the church in Swan Hills. I started there single. Then Lori and I got engaged, and I went there. And then a year later, we're married, and we pastored in Swan Hills. We came to Tanzania. You know, I've shared our story. Been in South Africa, 3CI Church, great church. We are serving the Lord. Come to Canada. At the end of the day, here's the point. At the end of the day, who's going to be with me? Not Swan Hills, not 3CI, not you, Palugas. No, who knows how long we have together. But it's like, at the end of the day, if you're blessed, it's your family, amen? It's your wife, it's your kids, it's your, you know, that's what I tell Nicole all the time. That's why we had a daughter first, and she was a nurse, because I'm going to need a lot of care in the senior's home. I need help changing my pants when I'm older. That's her job. It's the blessing. She loves it. And I used to sit on the chair and lean back, because I had an alcoholic uncle who lived with us for many, many years because his brains were burned out during the war. But he would sit in his chair, and this old red chair, and I'd And so I do that for Nicole, and she says, quit doing that. I said, well, one day, this is it. and you're going to have to help me and care for me. But who's there at the end of the day but our families? And so let's honor one another. Amen? Let's trust one another and expect much from each other. Fathers, be involved. Be there. I want you to have a successful business or a ministry, but your family is destroyed. You know how many, you know, it's easy for me to be hard on preachers and ministers, but and same for you, you find it easy to be hard on us. But you know how many don't finish well? I think how that must break God's heart. You know, nobody plants a church or nobody goes into ministry and say, I wonder how many people I can offend today or how many lives I could ruin. No church starts by thinking, how many people can we hurt in this city? Never. But stuff happens and lives get messed, and it's because it's all mixed together with spirituality and family and lives, and we can offend each other way more. Like a family member can offend a family member way more than some stranger, right? And so we need God's grace to come and work through us and in us and bring about healing and longevity and fruitfulness. Because at the end of the day, we're going to spend eternity together. We're going to be together in heaven. Amen? That's like, is this it? This is what heaven's going to look like? Yes! This is heaven. You're going to get to hear me sing for like a million years. And then you can sing for a million years. Yeah, thanks, Les. I appreciate that. But I just want to encourage fathers to be compassionate, to be involved in every way in your life. Like I said, who's with me at the end of my life? I remember one story. See if Frank can tell stories, I can tell stories. Start running. The story that comes to my mind is, I don't know what was going on, but my dad's telling Brian, my brother, about me. You better be careful there, grandson. See, that half grumpy grandfather might show up right there. But Brian's telling me the story how Dad was telling my brother Brian about this horse chariot that I built and how good it was and how amazing that what I built. And he says, I can take you and show it, because it was sitting out in the farm in the long grass. And just a secondhand story through my brother to me, what that did for me. It's like, my dad thought I did something good? That's amazing. Because I don't know what your generation's like, but we didn't talk a lot about how proud we were of our children back in those days. Mostly, you know, people would say, Brad, there's too many stories. But, you know, Kyle's soccer games, whatever. If Lori ever would get after me, you know, we're missing one, or what about, you know, a violin recital or singing something. I was like, my dad never came to one. Look how I turned out. So it's okay. But my whole point is, those simple few words through Brian from my dad to me, and I don't even remember the setting, I was like, I can live on that for about 17 years. Fathers, get involved. Be present. Have compassion. Have pity. It's more than pity. It's like, get involved with your family. At the end of the day, you don't know how important you really are. Let's move on. Verses 15 to 17, prosperity and blessing. There's a call for abundant blessing upon the king and the land, emphasizing prosperity and wealth and the remembrance of the king's name through all generations. All I would say about that is to be good stewards. Pray that God would help us fathers to be good stewards of what God gives us. You know, if you remember the parable of the talents, everything we have is from God. Everything we have, we are just to be stewards, including our kids. Amen? We only have them for a short time, and I couldn't find the little graph. Nicole shared it with me a while ago, talked about it. But how much time you have with your children, the only thing I could find, because I couldn't find the good stuff, but by the time they're like 12, I think it is, you have spent 80 or 90% of all the time. Sorry? 18. You've spent about 80 or whatever percent of the time that you're ever going to spend with them. It's done. But the one that I remember from her was like they kind of broke it down. When they're really little, you have this. And then it hits school, and you know, it's like you basically are finished by the time the kid hits school, unless you work at it. And I thank God we have good relationships. Whoever I was talking to have three of our children in church with us is like a miracle, because we could have ended up all over the world and been spread out all over the place, like Kyle, my loser son, is over there in Australia. No, but to have the time, and you got to fight for it. And so, again, it comes down to fathers. When the kids are small in your home, I know you're busy, I know you're running, I know life is full, just value the time. Make the most of the time. Redeem the time, which means buy the time. Take the time. Make the effort that you need to make. We are to be good stewards of everything. Number six, last one. It's the doxology. It's the end of the prayer. The psalm concludes with the doxology, praising God as a source of wondrous deeds and asking for his glory to fill the earth. It ends by noting that this concludes the prayers of David, the son of Jesse. Takes the pressure off us, this is what I say, knowing that God is in control. Fathers realize ultimately it's God who rules and reigns. He can make up for our deficiency if we'll invite him into our situations. He actually is the ruler of our lives and our families and our churches. Amen? I remember a prophetic ministry time being prayed for, and a bunch of stuff going on. But the words I remember is, you know, I didn't see such great examples. And this isn't to attack my father or anything else. I could tell you all the good stuff about him. But I didn't see so many great examples. But God our Father will teach us. God our Father will make up for our weaknesses or our deficiencies or the part of our family that we don't do well. Amen? And PJ said at the beginning, we all have that Father. And so as fathers, we can look at our lives and say, yeah, there's stuff I did right. Yep. Is there stuff I wished I could have changed? Yep. Is there stuff I didn't do? Yep. But God, may you take care of what I couldn't. May you be the father, the grandfather that they need and that they desire and they deserve in their life. And that, for me, that's one of the things I come to church and it's like, whew, I can be the half grumpy grandfather in church. Because God's in control. Amen? God's building his family. He's building this church. He's ruling the nations. And that was the prayer of David and Solomon, that the king would just have dominion, that the king would rule, that the king would be reigning over everything. And so that's a blessing to us, and it's a call to us to do well in our lives. So this morning, I'd like to pray for fathers in this house to be blessed. I just want to read something here. I don't know how much of it to read. Only God can make a dad. This is for dads. He does it every time. He puts it into the heart of a father, a special warmth and gentleness, a capacity to enjoy life, and a desire to be with his children. It's from God. Because he delights in watching them grow. Only God can make a dad who admits his mistakes and forgives others, who cheers his kids on, builds them up, and sometimes picks them up until they can stand on their own again. Only God can make a dad who shares their laughter, dries their tears, and always keeps on loving. And those who have a dad find that every now and then they just have to stop and whisper, "Thank you, God." Because in their hearts they know that only God can make a dad. A dad like you is a lifetime blessing. That's for the men in this house. I'm going to ask the men if you'd just stand, and I'll let you close however you want. Just have the men, fathers, fathers-to-be, spiritual fathers, wherever you're at. That prayer is for you. Only God can make a dad. Who cares? And if we had time, I'd go through this room. You know, the ones who didn't have the greatest example. And look how you've taken care of your father, your sons. And those who have lost a father. To have that memory. And then to instill that into your kids, the value of that, no matter what the circumstances. Amen? We honor you today. When children don't love us back like they should, you just stay true. You just stay faithful. Faithful to God. Faithful to your family. Amen? Thanks, Dad. Dad. Thank you, Russell, for being a good dad. That card I'm reading, it's for us. Only God can make a dad out of us. That what he wants us to be faithful. Will we make mistakes? Yeah. Not you. But God will equip us. God will make up in our children the parts of us that are weak. The parts, you know, that I was talking about that prophetic prayer guy. It was like, I didn't even know what I missed. You know, if you don't know what you don't know, but God will make that up. We weren't raised warm and fuzzy. We were raised, get the jobs done. But God changes our hearts and our lives. Amen? And he makes us the fathers he wants us to be. Amen? Good dads, strong dads, bless you. So that's what my prayer is this morning, is that you would go from here encouraged in who you are. This isn't a Sunday to knock all your faults and to knock the weaknesses. This is a Sunday to celebrate fatherhood, to celebrate what you represent in the world, what we represent, and the need that's there for us to be strong, to be faithful, to be engaged, to just be there, and then ultimately to just trust God with it all. In the end of the day, if God doesn't build a house, they that build it labor in vain. I know we're talking about the house, but we need God. We need God. So I just want to pray, and then PJ, you can come. Father, thank you this morning that as we celebrate even 60 years of marriage, just faithfulness, just faithful. A lot of that time wasn't jumping up and down and eating cake. It's just staying true, walking through the valleys, walking through life. But I thank you, God, for the joys. I thank you for the blessings. And as we look back on our life and we see the hand of God, I thank you that we can just trust you with our lives and trust you with our families and trust you with our kids, trust you with the next generation. And so, Father, I just pray on this special day, you would bless these men standing here today. May they feel your anointing. May they feel your goodness in their life today. Only God can make a dad. So, Father, I pray this morning you would make us the fathers you want us to be in every way. You, Lord, would continue to work in us. When we fail, may we be quick to cry out to God. May we repent. May we seek you quickly, I pray. Bless fathers in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. Welcome.